Let's go back to St. Louis and bring in Andy Baggerly. Extra Bags, he covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News and at Extra Bags on Twitter, and I love following him. And Andy, how are you?
Well, hey, Marty. Hello from the Gateway City. How are you?
Yeah, very good. The Gateway City and the Arch. How do you like the Arch?
Yeah, you know, the Arch is pretty good. I was kind of surprised. They used to light it up at night, and I don't think they do that anymore. You could barely see it at night, but you really like the way that they built New Busch Stadium, and you get that great center field view. You see the Arch out there. And, of course, a sellout crowd and Cardinal fans. They'll tell you they're the best fans in baseball. So, you know, always a good environment to see baseball here in St. Louis.
Yeah, the guys on the TV last night were talking about the red seats. You can't tell if people are there or not. Because, you know, the seats are red and everyone's dressed in red, so you don't know if they're there.
You know, I will say this. Cardinal fans, they definitely come out and they wear the gear.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of Giants fans will show up and maybe they might have a cap on or something. But and, of course, Orange Fridays, everyone decks themselves out in orange. But every day it's Red Monday, Red Tuesday, Red Wednesday, every day of the week. If it's a day in the week that ends in day, then the Cardinal fans will be here in full force wearing red.
Very good. Andy Baggerly with us. Andy, your thoughts about the passing of the great sportsman and one of the great people in the world, Muhammad Ali.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough, I would say that I met him. I was really in the same room with him. I had my picture taken with him, but he was at the point, you know, when he visited Giant Spring Training about 2009, 2010, when there really wasn't much interaction with him, and the players kind of came up one by one to get pictures taken with him. And, you know, I kind of felt a little bad. It was almost like you're taking pictures with a wax figurine because, you know, you couldn't really interact with him. But then he would have that one little moment where he'd, you know, throw you a real slow motion punch or you know, pantomime something. And you could tell that he's still there, you know, that the spirit is still there. It was just, you know, so unfortunate that, you know, for so many years that Parkinson's took the life out of him, basically. But, you know, what I really have enjoyed in reading some of the remembrances, the columns, Ray Ratto wrote a fantastic piece for CSN on their website. It's just that no one is ever going to lose sight of this guy's seat. And what he meant, not only as a sportsman, but as someone who never, ever let anyone define his own sense of self-worth and his identity, you know, even as he grew up in a time where people were telling him, and the white power structure was telling him, you are a second-class citizen, he basically said, no, I'm not. I am who I am, and you know, I will live life on my own terms. And I think that's just such a powerful message for anyone, anywhere. Just do not let other people define who you are or what your worth is. You know, you got to be stronger than that. And he certainly was. And you know, I don't know if we have that many people in sports these days that are icons like that. You know, the greatest guy in boxing right now is Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, frankly, he's a very, very poor imitation of anything that Muhammad Ali could be. He's all about flashing the cash and really doesn't seem to have a lot of substance. So I think if I were to take a word, I would use the word substance. And I hope that we'll have more sports heroes of substance and remind ourselves of the importance of that with Muhammad Ali's passing.
Very well spoken. Andy Baggerly with us. He was more than just a sports figure or a boxer. He went beyond that. And I said in the open today, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but maybe the most famous athlete in the world. Anyone surpass Muhammad Ali?
I forget who it was that wrote it. They were quoted in the New York Times today, but basically they said that he could be in a plane and look out anywhere in the world and look down on all the people, and he would know that every single one of those people knew who he was.
Yeah.
And yet, when you would meet him, you know, you would say, wow, you're Muhammad Ali. And he would say, well, yeah, I know who I am, but I don't know who you are. Tell me about you. And it was just very sort of a disarming way, you know, to bring him off that pedestal and to your level. And I think that's really, really a rare gift for anybody, especially somebody who could very easily have big leagued everyone around him, but he wasn't that way.
Yeah, especially in the 60s, calling himself, changing his name to Muhammad Ali at that time was shocking to people in the 60s and didn't know what to make of it. Plus, he was this athlete. Then, of course, with the conscientious objection to being inducted into the Army and stripped of his title and prosecuted and the Supreme Court throwing the case out. And he never wavered during that period of time, which for me growing up was the most turbulent decade of my life, seeing how things
Sure.
changed every day. And he never, ever, ever fell into that abyss of anger. He just said what he believed.
Well, because if he let some of that anger him, then basically he would be letting those people define him, or would be letting those people determine his mood or his outlook. And he's like, you know what? I'm stronger than that. I'm more powerful than that. And I'm not going to let that happen. And, you know, the other thing I saw was kind of funny. Somebody juxtaposed, I guess, Donald Trump a few weeks back had tweeted something about, you know, hey, President Obama says that if we didn't allow Muslims in the country, where would all of our Muslim sports heroes come from? Well, who are our Muslim sports heroes? And he looked like an absolute idiot because he forgot about Muhammad Ali. So then last night, I guess he tweets something like, you know, rest in peace, the greatest or something. It's like, okay, it's kind of nice to go back and realize, well, if we want to be a more tolerant, more forgiving country, maybe we should start with figuring out leaders who meet that that threshold.
All right, let's move to baseball before I get a lot of tweets and calls on the political front. Let's move on. All right. Last night, boy, Cueto, and Andy, you tweeted it. Alex did as well. And early on, you thought maybe the back was bothering him. He couldn't bend down to get that ground ball. But, man, he gutted out the game last night, didn't he?
Well, you know, his start before at Coors Field, his quote was, I had nothing on the ball, and he still got through six innings at Coors Field. And I think you'd have to say he didn't have a lot on the ball last night either, maybe a little more. There were a couple times he ran his fastball up there pretty good, but he didn't have command. He walked five. For the first time since 2011, he went more than an inning and didn't strike out more than one batter the entire game. So I think, you know, five walks, one strikeout, that looks like a recipe for a disaster start. And here you look up, and he only allowed one run, and that was an unearned run. So, you know, Matt Duffy, I thought, said it best. He said, look, this is a guy who what you admire about him is even when he's missing his command, which is what he's all about, he can still find a way to get guys out and give you a chance to win in a really tough road environment. And, you know, and then the bullpen really pitched well also, and we were sort of spared a Brandon Moss-Santiago Casilla matchup in the ninth because that would have been interesting. When Trevor Rosenthal walked the bases loaded and the Giants were able to add on. They're going to just have to do more of that with Hunter Pence out. They're going to obviously the starting pitchers are going to have to keep doing what they're doing. The bullpen is going to have to be a little more reliable with maybe these one-run leads that they seem to be getting a lot of. And everyone is just going to have to incrementally pick it up a little bit on the offensive end. And I think you saw a good combination of that yesterday.
You had a good comment on Twitter, Andy Baggerly with us, extra bags with two G's on Twitter, about Matt Duffy. You said the Chilton Auto Body line out of the game. That was great. Very good. I'm going to use that today. I like it. Very good. And because he lines out every game, right?
Yeah, but the Chilton Auto Body already has a sponsor. So I'm thinking that they're going to have to sell. They're going to have to sell the sponsorship rights to the Matt Duffy line out of the game. It's just, you know, that was sort of my joke is it's become he just has at least one, sometimes two a game, and he's hitting like 238, but you know, sure looks like he should be hitting about 280. You know, yeah. So if you can if you can sell that sponsorship, Marty, I know you're good at selling sponsorships. How about the Pave line out of the game?
All right.
Original Joe's line out of the game.
I'll talk to Michael Enlick about that. I thought maybe you had a collision, so you needed help from Chilton Auto Body.
There you go. Yeah,
yes, I thought maybe you were just trying to schnur something, but probably not. All right, Andy Baggerly with us. All right, Andy, Pence out for a couple of months, and, you know, he's a guy he can't wait to get back in. Pagan, at least they're taking their time another week or so for him. Do they do anything? Look, they're 5.5 up. They're the hottest team in baseball. Do you just sit back and say, hey, let these three guys pitch. Let Peavy do his thing. Suarez pitch great. Let's status quo. Let's see where we go.
I think so. You know, I think that they're not going to be desperate to get something done. Now, if the offense really nosedives and they get into a spate where they face a lot of left-handed pitching, they're obviously very left-handed now. Then, you know, they're going to want to try to address it. But I think that it's not going to be a big name, you know, if they get somebody. You're at a time of the calendar where if you want to make a deal, you don't have a lot of leverage and because there aren't as many teams that are looking to deal, you know, to subtract. And so, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. So I don't know if there's anyone out there that really would be a difference maker. You know, I think this would be a wonderful time for Mack Williamson to hit a hot streak because the opportunity is going to be there for him if he can. If he has a start and he gets a couple hits, I guarantee you he's going to get another start. And Kelby Tomlinson will get more of a look, too, because he's a right-handed bat who can play who can play the outfield, or at least they're going to try him there. In terms of some guys, that Michael Morse obviously got released somewhat recently. The Giants would not acquire him to be an outfielder. I don't think that they would bring him back. One thing that's kind of crazy is Adam Duvall is sitting there with a whole bunch of home runs, and he's obviously a former Giant, but I'm not sure if he puts up those numbers in San Francisco that he has in Cincinnati. They're very much attuned to looking to the outside world, but first and foremost, they hope that they can address it internally. And one of the things they're hoping they can address is not just plugging someone in right field to give you Pence's numbers, but sort of everybody incrementally being a little bit better, a little more productive. That includes a Duffy, that includes a Posey, that includes Pagan when you get back, and maybe just a little bit of a rising tide can raise all boats kind of a thing.
Andy, Samardzija Cueto Bumgarner, and you've covered baseball for a long time. I'm thinking Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, those are Hall of Famers. They did for a whole career. But for a couple of months, for three on a rotation, this may be the best Giants rotation I can remember. It goes better than any of the World Series teams.
Well, I mean, you really can't get better than 11-1 in Johnny Cueto's starts. And they obviously have had very similar numbers with Samardzija and Bumgarner. And you're right. It could not have worked out better that Greinke said no and that these two guys said yes. And even going back to John Lester and James Shields, not getting either of those guys, you wouldn't have Bumgarner or you wouldn't have Cueto or Samardzija. At least one of the two wouldn't be here. So, but again, we're very, very early into the process of, in Samardzija's case, a 5-year contract, and in Cueto's case, a 6-year that could end up being a 2-year if he opts out, which he certainly would opt out if he gives the Giants another year and a half of what he's doing. But you know what? Then you look at pitches thrown, and Bumgarner is number one in the NL. Cueto's number two. Samardzija, I think, is number four or five. Mm-hmm. And he's going to obviously put a bunch more on his ledger today. And so I think you're looking at that combined with Cueto throwing 240 innings in 14, throwing 230 innings and counting the World Series last year. And that's why, Bruce Bochy is looking at all this and saying, look, if there's any team that's doing well, I guarantee you they've got pitching that's doing the job. And we got to protect that asset and not ask too much of these guys. They've been ridden pretty hard early. And that's why you're going to see Suarez go out and get a start Tuesday against the Red Sox. And that means Bumgarner will go with an extra day of rest on Wednesday against the Red Sox. And then with Thursday off, that means Cueto and Samardzija will pitch against the Dodgers next weekend, Friday and Saturday, with two extra days of rest. They'll go an entire week between starts. So, that should serve them well, and that just shows you how valuable, how much the Giants value these starting pitchers, that they're not going to push them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, Andy, I appreciate it. If we have a chance tomorrow, we'd love to have you on. I know you're busy, but a great report and very, very good remarks about Muhammad Ali. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, Marty.
That's Andy Bagley. Okay, we'll hope to catch up with him tomorrow if we can.